For a moment I thought I'd killed him, but I didn't wait about to see. The training of years asserted itself, and I turned and bolted headlong down the path, with no thought but to put as much distance as I could between me and the scene of possible danger. Before I'd gone far, I had to stop to be sick, no doubt from the shock of my narrow escape, and during the pause I had time to consider what I was doing. Where could I run to? Not back to Strelhau for certain. The Bismarck gang had shown their hand now, and my life wouldn't be worth a china orange if I went anywhere they could come at me. And why had they tried to kill me now? What purpose was there in having me dead before the real Carl Gustav was ready to take my place? Maybe he was ready, although if he'd been rotten with pox, they'd tidied him up mighty quick. Or had Bismarck's whole tale been pure moonshine? Maybe Carl Gustav was dead. Maybe, oh, maybe a thousand things I had no way of knowing. As I think I've said before, while fear usually takes control of my limbs, particularly my running equipment, it seldom prevents me from thinking clearly. Even as I stood there spewing, I knew what had to be done. It was essential that I make tracks out of Strakens at once. But reason told me that to do that in safety, I must have a clear notion of what my enemies were up to. And the only man who could tell me that was de Gautet, if he was still alive. The longer I hesitated, the longer he had to revive. My pistols were in my saddle holsters at the summit. So back up the track I went at full speed, pausing only near the top to have a stealthy skulk and see how the land lay. The horses had gone, scared, no doubt, by the pistol shot. But de Gautet was still where I'd left him. Was he shamming? It would have been like the foxy bastard, so I lay low and watched him. He didn't stir, so I tossed a stone at him. It hit him, but he didn't move. Reassured, I broke cover, snatched up the knife, and crouched panting beside him. He was dead to the world, but breathing, with a fine red lump on his skull. In a moment I had his belt off and trussed his elbows with it. Then I pulled off his boots, secured his ankles with my own belt, and felt comfortably safer. Several excellent ideas were already forming in my mind about how to deal with Master de Gautet when he came to, and I waited with a pleasant sense of anticipation. He had a hole in one sock, I noticed. There'd be holes in more than that before I'd finished with the murderous swine. Presently he groaned and opened his eyes, and I had the pleasure of watching his expression show bewilderment, rage, and fear all in turn. "Well, de Gautet," says I, "what have you got to say, you back-shooting rat, you?" He stayed mum, glaring at me, so I tickled him up with the knife, and he gasped and cursed. "That's it," says I. "Get some practice, and see here, I'm not going to waste time with you. I'm going to ask questions, and you'll answer 'em smartly, do you see? Because if you don't, well, I'll show you the advantages of an English public school education, that's all. Now first, why did you try to kill me? What are you and our good friend Otto Bismarck up to?" He struggled, but saw it was no good and lay still. "You will learn nothing from me," says he. "Your error," says I. "See here."